And welcome back to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm your host for this evening here on 96.9 Guardian Talk FM. And don't forget, of course, that you can download the app from the App Store or Play Store. And as I mentioned in the last segment at the beginning, you can also go to the NAGB's website and listen to this show or other shows again. We do put them on the website, and they are the archive there, so you can always go back and share them with friends. I'm talking to three practitioners tonight, not traditional, quote-unquote, fine artists, but artists in their own right, and we're speaking about how these kind of things that maybe in the past were considered craft or were considered like another tier in the arts, and that would be like ceramics and fashion, so things that are more utilitarian, are kind of now today considered more viable art forms and really like viable like economic paths to get us and, you know, individuals, but also the country at large, like kind of out of the economic slump we're in post-pandemic. So April and Kathy, like you're looking at a lot of young Bahamian designers. Do you think we've got someone? And I know Theodore Elliott like won a kind of Project Runway a few years ago. Like, do you feel like we have? I feel like certainly I only know fine arts. I know that in fine arts, I think we compete easily, like internationally. Do you see like a lot of people up and coming that you think could also compete internationally?
Oh, definitely. We had a fashion show segment for an alumni awards that we had a couple of weeks ago. And we had one was a previous BTBI student, who's a tailor, and one was a current student, and they were phenomenal. I mean, the workmanship, the design, the actual design that they used, the fabrication, the workmanship was beautifully executed. But what I do think is that our challenge is manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So we can do one-offs, and there's only so much that you as a designer can do on your own. And I think if we were to grow the manufacturing part of the fashion industry, I think you'll find a lot more budding designers and designers staying in the field, because we have designers who have actually left fashion and gone and pursued other careers. Mm-hmm. And so I think manufacturing is a big deal. But short answer, yes, absolutely. We do have a lot of really talented designers out there.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, what do you feel? But do you agree about the manufacturing side of things? Do you feel like we need more like equipment, is it, or more training for the kind of level of jobs that can work machinery? Like, what would it be, do you think, that could like take Bahamian fashion to like the next level somehow?
I agree. In the past, we did have some kind of manufacturing going on, like in the t-shirt industry. But now that is something that we can consider. It's kind of difficult because of the like in other parts of the world, like third world countries, the pay is very little and they get, you know, a lot done. But, you know, our minimum wage is like, what, $2.10 per week? So that creates a slight difficulty in the production of garments making. You know, it's going to be very costly to do. But, like, there's something called a bobbin show. It's held every 2 years in Atlanta, Georgia. And they, you know, they expose you to all the newest machinery that is related to garment manufacturing. So maybe if we can get some of those machines in, and, you know, can make the process a bit quicker, maybe we can balance out, you know, the wages and the production.
Yeah, so, but it's also kind of interesting is in many parts of the world now, and I think even at home, there's quite a lot of people that are willing to pay a bit more to have something that is either homemade or is sustainably made. And there is such a rise. I mean, my kids won't shop in high street shops. Even here, you know, like they're at school in Canada, when we go to the States, they will not go to the kind of chain stores because they know about the labor. And they're very like, you know, they'd rather go thrifting And you know,
Gen Zs are like that. Yeah,
they're teenagers and they only have like $20 a week allowance. But you know, there's adults that are growing up that way that now have maybe make a bit more money, and they would pay like that extra bit, I think, to like buy something that they know is sustainably done, or again, like, you know, a business like Bahama Handprint. I think the reason the reason a lot of locals go there is because it's local and they feel good. Like, I try to buy Bahari if I can. You know, I like to, I've bought stuff from April at the Curated Closet, which I wore to my last opening, and everybody loved my outfit. You know, it makes me really special to wear something. And when I travel, I always wear Bahamian made jewelry, have a straw bag. Like, I really try to rock my Bahamian-ness and blow people's minds when they're like, oh, that's amazing. Where did you get that? And I'm like, yeah, man, I got that at home. You know, I didn't go to Prada for this. Like,
right. And you know what? Like, in the past where, you know, Bahamians in particular would always go to the big brands. I think now, and I kind of projected it, like I kind of knew that it would happen, but still surprised that people are so excited. Like, so when they come into my store and they, and we say to them, we don't say to them right away, they look around, oh, this is nice. And then we say, you know, this is made, this is Bahamian made, this is made in the Bahamas. So we really try to push that made in the Bahamas label. And then they're like, oh wow, okay, well I have to get something. They're excited, they see the quality is, you know, on point, and they're excited and they're proud.
So what can people, if they go to Turn and the Curated Closet, of course, on Shirley Street, right before, if you're driving down Shirley Street and you're heading, well, you can only drive one way on Shirley Street now. That's how old I am. I remember when Shirley Street was two ways. If you're driving into town, it's on the right-hand side, right before Kemp Road, right by opposite the kind of the market, the plaza where, I don't know what that plaza is called, but
Shirley
like
Street Plaza.
Shirley Street Plaza, where the dance studio is and the pet store and like Petit Gourmet and the... So Curated Closet's right there, but then we also have a special selection at Turn Gallery out west. So what can people see if they come to Turn? What did you give us?
So at Turn Gallery, what I did is I created a line of sustainable line of t-shirts. And so here's how it happened. It was breast cancer month. I was going to an event and needed a needed something to wear, and I wanted to be comfortable. It was like a trade show. So I got a white t-shirt and I had some, you know, remnant fabrics and scrap fabrics left over. It was pink. So I created something and I sewed it onto the neckline. And I did one for my friend who was going with me. And every three steps, somebody was asking, oh my gosh, I love your t-shirt. Where can I get it? I'm like, it's only one. There's only two that exist. And so I realized, you know what? This is a great opportunity. And of course, and Kathy knows this, we have tons of fabric. Like, I know I don't throw anything away. And so I started going into my scraps and I'm like, okay, I have this scoop, I have this neoprene, it just needs to cut, I don't have to finish the edges. And I started creating these appliques to attach to the t-shirts. And so I have a line of t-shirts at Turn Gallery, some denim, which is from like denim jeans. I go to all my friends and I say, hey, what jeans do you have? The kids, whatever's too small for the kids, bring them to me.
Oh, now we know. I'm going to bring you all my old kid clothes.
Yes. I cut them up. I fringe. I fray the edges. Yeah. Added the t-shirts. And it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's very unique. So it's comfortable. It's not just
a basic tee. I got a t-shirt like that. I came in the store and I wore one opening, and it was actually like a green kind of a fabric. It made me think of like ivy or something. And I just, but it was so comfortable. So I was just in a t-shirt, but I looked super chic. And then I can rock that t-shirt either with like a really nice skirt and heels and look really dressed up, or you can wear it with like jeans and pants and you still look really chic, but you know, laid back chic. It is great. I love it. So
Thank you.
So happy with it. And Kathy, what about you? What did people come? What did you do for Turn? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I did the embroidery for Turn. Mm-hmm. I mean, on their shirts. So if you want a Turn t-shirt, you can go to Turn and have it done.
And do you do embroidery a lot? Is that part? Is that a way of like that? Like a sort of added sustainable.
Well,
thing that you do to like.
Well, I have a cottage business. It's called Kathy of Nassau. I do couture work for individual clients. You know, our country, our mostly women, so everybody is specially built. We are very curvy people, and so business is always going. You know, you're always constantly busy. You know, developing designs and stuff for the beautiful curves that the Bahamians have.
We like to dress up. It's one of the things I love about being back home, right? Is that like, you know, in like New York, you know, if you go to an opening, you know, you go to even a gala sometimes, people will be in jeans. They might be in a jeans and a cool t-shirt, but they'll be kind of, in the Bahamas, we still really dress for this. Like,
yes,
really
we dress up. Yeah,
and I actually love that. I love that, you know, if I go out to something like dressy, like I'm expected to really dress. You know, I love that. It gets me excited.
It's so that's
Since the pandemic, I think it's a lot of weddings going on. A lot of people decided, well, I'm just getting married. So this year I've been really busy with a lot of weddings, you know, just weddings. So.
Well, that's great. And we know it's not only like the curvy. I mean, I think, you know, in general, I was just talking to a friend about it yesterday, actually a Bahamian friend up here in Toronto. But we were talking about going shopping and I was just like, oh, I can never figure out what size I am. And she was like, listen, I'm a different size depending what I'm buying. Because, you know, like women, we come in so many complicated shapes, right? Like, you know, you might be flat up top and big on the bottom, or you might be big everywhere. But I never fit like a straight 8 or a 10 or whatever it is. You know, I'm always like, got to buy this size if I want it to fit here, and I've got to buy this size if I want it to fit here.
And you know what, to that point, Amanda, I stop putting sizes in my clothes. In my ready-to-wear garments, I don't put sizes. And when people come into the store, and I actually have some pieces in the Turn as well, Turn Gallery, concept store as well, dresses, long dresses, short dresses, more coming. And I kind of made them to fit any size. It depends on how you like your clothes to fit. If you're smaller, it's full, you can belt it. If you're bigger, then, you know, it may fit you perfectly, but I just say it's your size. It depends on how you want to wear it.
Yeah.
And I think that takes the, you know, people are a little bit not intimidated, but conscious of the label, the size on the label. So we just take that away.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. Because when I, like, you know, let's just get it all out on the table now. When I hit menopause, my body changed a different way. And like my clothes stopped fitting. And at first I was really kind of like, when I had to change actual size, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a whatever size now. I can't believe it. My whole life I've been this size and now I'm that size. And it made me feel really bad about myself. But then I actually like looked in my, how I wore my clothes. And I was like, actually, I look fine. I feel fine. Like, why am I caring? Like, yes, my body's changed, but it's still a good body. It's still like, does what it needs to do and looks fine, and my husband it still loves me.
Right, and you can always cut the label, and if all
exactly, it was really just that thing, like my size change. You know what I mean? And it's so.
The world has changed a whole lot as far as appearance is concerned. You know, like Amanda said, she's concerned about her size with menopause and all that. But nowadays, everybody is beautiful. I mean. Absolutely gorgeous. We just, you know, that's how the world is looking at us nowadays. Back then, it was like the super thin, tall, and all of that. But you could be short, you know, however, and you're
big,
beautiful.
Big, tall, wide, tall. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And I think you see that reflected in fashion, actually. I think it's been quite interesting. The fashion industry has started to try to embrace different sized people as much as like more diverse versions of beauty as well. You know, I think like, you know, the introduction, I mean, we know that like the white standard is still like very much in our brains, right? But I think recently in the last 5 years, you've really seen this kind of push towards, especially like plus size models and, you know, and things like that. And I think, you know, our kids are growing up with a very different feeling of, you know, what's accepted and like, Yeah. And I think that's so healthy. I don't know about Roger. You're probably the youngest one on the call. I don't know. you're a mom and you're like a grown up. But do you feel like now bringing you into the conversation on standards of beauty, which doesn't really go with your ceramics, but just because you're here, do you feel like, because I think you're probably like a generation younger, certainly younger than me. Do you feel that like as a woman kind of in the Bahamas, you feel like that's changed at all or like globally in terms of like ideas of beauty and fashion and things like that?
Oh yeah, it's definitely grown. It's definitely changed and evolved. I remember, I think when I was obviously a lot younger, I guess like in the 90s, early 2000s, it was definitely all about the slim, the models, the slim models, all of that. And now it's like, love your curves, love yourself, you know, thick girls.
And winning, hair, like, love your hair, love your natural hair.
Yeah,
like these. Because even, you know, even in white culture, I tell people like, even in like white culture, when I was, because I've got very curly hair, like really like wild, curly, like huge, giant mane of hair. And I was always told when I graduated from college that I should tie my hair back to go to job interviews. I should straighten my hair as well. Like people
always loved your hair.
Thank you.
Wow. That's interesting because I've never heard, I mean, I've only heard that from, you know, people like us. Like, you know, I guess I'm kind of mixed. And so we always straighten our hair and, you know, to get all the kinks out, get all the curls out. And now, oh my gosh, I get so much compliments from when I have my hair, especially from men.
Yep.
Listen,
yep.
The men love it.
It's true. I think the idea of being natural is something that I feel like a lot of men like. But no, it's people are surprised when I tell them that. But it is something that even like in white culture, like curly hair is seen as kind of like, you know, you're a bit dizzy. You're a bit like, you know, hippie, you know. And if you think about it and you look at like successful women in business, I don't mean like, you know, artists or whatever, but you look at like business women, Fortune 500 women, they've always got the helmet hair, right? They've always got like the blowout. There's something about this idea of like, you know, like straight hair being like serious. And my dad would be like, oh, like, how are you going to work like that? And I'd be like, Dad, like you made this hair.
Yeah. It's definitely something that's being embraced. And I don't know if any of you, if you've seen, Rihanna's Savage Fenty, her late, she has these fashion shows, which really are like performances.
Yeah.
And the last one, I'm not sure about the previous ones, but she had such a mix. I mean, it was totally size inclusive.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And so she had many different sizes. I mean, from the very thin to the like very voluptuous women. And they were so confident and beautiful. And it was such a beautiful thing to see. And from coming from her, like somebody who's a Caribbean woman, mm-hmm. It was really, like, it's really set a standard that she continues to do. And so we're happy to have someone like her.
Absolutely. And I think the Caribbean is actually setting standards. I really do. Like, I think people are beginning to realize globally that so much has come out of the Caribbean. And I remember there was a recent, like, Twitter war about someone who said something about, like, a Caribbean people shouldn't get involved in conversations about hip-hop music because it's all American. And somebody was like, wait. Like, everyone has a Jamaican or a Bajan or a Trini, like, parent, like, all of the great artists. And I think people are beginning to realize, actually, the Caribbean is a super, super creative space. And I hope to see Bahamian designers and ceramicists leading, you know, again, leading the world and these things. So maybe with teachers like you, Kathy, in April at BTVI, we're going to see that. And of course, everybody should come out and support your own practices. So Roger with your ceramics, Kathy Hamilton /Pinder with your business, Kathy of Nassau, and of course come out to Turn and see what you did for us there with your embroidery, and April Burrows, the curated closet on Shirley Street. Everyone should go out and support businesses. And of course, if you're interested, come to Turn Gallery. We're going to have the concept store in the gallery until the beginning of December. So you could come out and look for something to wear for Christmas party or buy a nice Bahamian made, you know, gift for someone, really beautiful design objects. And of course, that concept store is also going to go online so you can shop from home too. And I don't know, that's really it. So I want to thank all of you ladies for being here this evening. So Roger, thank you so much for joining. It's nice to talk to you again.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. So nice to be a part of this conversation.
Great, April. Lovely to have you too. Thank you so much for being here. And Kathy, Kendra's sister, Kathy and Kendra, the two Ks.
It's been my pleasure. I'm going to link up with Kendra to do some stuff too.
Great. Fantastic. Love to see those collaborations happening. So thank you all, wonderful women. Roger Burrows, April Burrows. No relative.
Not that I know of.
and Kathy Hamilton. Thank you so much for being
on.
Thank you. And thank you, audience, for listening. As ever, always a pleasure to host you Wednesday evenings at 6:30 on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, where you can tune in and hear The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I've been your host. Thank you so much for listening. And everyone out there, have a great night.